Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And as we remember, we're in a study of Jeremiah, even though you're looking at Isaiah 59. And remember, you are always in the presence of God. There's no minute, second of your life forever that you are not in the presence of God. An infinite, invisible presence. Now, God, say something. I did. That's my word. So we open the Bible because we're in the presence of God, and God has given us the scriptures so that we can understand at any point. If you lived back in the days of Martin Luther, you would, same word. If you live 100 years from now, same word. Always, God, you gave your word so that we, through the comfort, encouragement, understanding of the scriptures, we can handle your wonderful presence. We can understand it. And God, everything that we read, you perfectly understand right now. Instantly, you know all about it in the fullness of its existence. So now, here we are, opening to Isaiah. And in Isaiah 59, God reminded Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, ultimately the two tribes, Babylon would come up, the Babylonian captivity, for Judah and Jerusalem. Here in Isaiah 59, the statement is made, "Behold," verse 1, "the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So God, there's never a moment in your presence that you're not able to be an ever-present help. We're not a moment. And your ear is quite capable, as it were, you don't have an ear like we do, that you can hear and understand instantly. So you already know before we call, you already understand before it happens. Verse 2, the problem, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So the problem coming to grips with the presence of God in the light of the Word of God is a heart problem. And you want to know why the storms come and you can't see is because of unbelief. And you know what unbelief does. Unbelief leaves you in the dark. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Our old nature likes darkness. So when we don't believe, we can't see the sun, S-O-N. When the cloud storms are there, we can't see the S-U-N. So God, here we are, and verse 9, "Therefore is judgment far from us," that's to say, "doth justice overtake, and neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon day as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us." So as you're reading now, keep reading, if you did, God, the problem in the 10 tribes in the north, they're in darkness. They don't want any light, and therefore they stay in darkness, and they reap the fruit, the consequences of darkness. Now, over to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in chapter 14. And remember, as we have studied, chapter 14, picking up, if I can, I'll read verse 8. We've studied all this. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in a time of trouble. Why shouldst thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Verse 9. Why shouldst thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Now, Jeremiah is looking at the people, the Jerusalem, Judah, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down. Nebuchadnezzar's going to enter the city, as it were, and ultimately destroy it. And the people, as you look out, if you walked up and down the street, went in the store, went in City Hall, as it were, wherever you go, there is no one, is anyone paying attention to God? Nope. We're all busy trying to think about and solve our dilemma. Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to, our people tell us to be at peace. Everything's fine, okie dokie, if that's all right. Everything's okay, and wow. And they're telling us that, and we want to believe it, so we do. But is there any interest in God's person, presence? No, not any. And therefore, Jeremiah, he says, this is what people think. It seems to be you're a stranger. It seems to be you don't care. It seems to be you don't understand. It seems to be you are not strong enough to save him anymore. It seems like you've run out of energy, God, and interest. That is not true. And Jeremiah knew that, but he said it seemed like that because the people aren't even paying attention to you. So now, having said that, verse 8 and 9, chapter 2 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, picking up verse 25. 2 and 25. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. Are you going to quit what you're doing? Are you going to change your idolatry? Nope, we're going to keep right on doing it. Verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. But they ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. What are they doing? Saying to a stalk, art thou my father? Verse 27. And to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So, like everything, we have all our little ways we think about things and handle them. And we don't exercise any of that with just a theory and thought to comfort us. When trouble comes, God said, exercise your thought. Exercise what you're trusting. Now, you could, God's there. God, are you here? Uh-huh. But you aren't paying attention. So therefore, you trust you whatever you think is a solution to your life, to the world, to our country in great need, to say the least, global conditions, to say the least, and everything in almost every way, shape, and form, in some form, all over the world, we are in a very global, in turmoil, turbulence, and trouble. Now, so in the light of that, verse 28, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according as to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. There's just no end to your substitutes, your solutions, your idolatry. You have every kind under the sun in order to try to maneuver and manage. And here we are, as we said, in our world situation. And politics, we're looking to politics, we're looking to people, we're looking to agendas, we're looking to aggression and all kinds of exercise all over the world. And therefore, here we are, and there's a lot of turmoil, and it isn't going away, a lot of trouble that's very troubling. Now, so here's Jeremiah, the same situation, same world that you are in. I am in it. I'm in the same world. So God, you're the same. Now, what did Jeremiah need to know in handling it? And that's what we're trying to learn from. God, you recorded it so we could learn. So now, remember going backwards, if I can in time, in the days of Noah, Noah is a righteous man. All that he does, he walks before God for 120 years. He is noted for his righteousness. He shows forth righteousness. He shows it forth. Could he stop the Genesis flood? Could Noah stop the Genesis flood? Not at all. He was right, doing right, but he couldn't stop a thing. All right, hang on to that. Now, and so here's Judah and Jerusalem in unbelief. And in the process, remember now all these people are alive during the days of the Babylonian problem. You have Jeremiah, you have Daniel, you have Ezekiel, you have Nahum, you have Zephaniah, you have Habakkuk. All those are prophets. They're all there. Not one of them can help. There's no hope from any of them. Chapter 7, Jeremiah. If I can, chapter 7 and verse 16. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me. Why not? For I will not hear thee. So here's Jeremiah told not to pray and not to look to for God isn't going to do anything about the problem except judgment. Jeremiah chapter 10, and we turn, and Jeremiah. And if I can, in verse 19, remember, we shared all this together. 10 and 19, woe is me, said Jeremiah, for my wound is grievous. But I said, truly, truly, yea, yea, surely, certainly, this is a grief that I must bear and carry. I must understand. It has to be. Noah, it has to be. Jeremiah, it has to be. They have gone so far down the road, their sin has created a great cloud, and they only increase the intensity and the darkness. Therefore, you're going to have to live with it. You wish it were different. You wish the country was different. You wish a lot of things were different. But they aren't. They're the same. Now, having said that, over to chapter 11. And again, Jeremiah, are you facing up to the realities of life? I am. They're hard. And I wish it wasn't like it was. I wish it would be different, but it isn't. personally, publicly, and otherwise. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 18. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it. That is, they're going to try, your own family, and in the city where you were raised in an oath, that all the men are trying to kill you. And God clues them in that they're trying to kill you, Jeremiah. And verse 18, and I know it, then thou showest me their doings. So, Jeremiah, you understand, the people don't want to change. In fact, the people, your own family and your own town where you were raised, they are against you. They want to kill you. Over to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgment. Judgments, yep. That's what God, Jeremiah's having to deal with that. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper, of the wicked are prospering, and no one seems to stop, no one seems to care. Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously, very secure, at peace. They think everything's going to come out all right, but it isn't. And then you slide down as we did when we were there, chapter 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah, you need to what? If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And here you are running and trying to keep up with all the problems and the things in the news and what's happening in the world. And then you're getting weary. Boy, there's no hope, no help. And now God said, I'll give you a break. No, he didn't say, I'll give you a break. He said, you think it's been bad. Now, I want you to roll up your sleeves, because you're going to have to run not with men. You're going to have to run against horses. And horses have a lot more energy, and they're a lot faster. And Jeremiah, nothing's going to slow down. Nothing is going to stop. It's going to keep right on going. It would just slow down. But it isn't going to slow down. Ah. Now, And so now, having said that and remembering all that, over if you would again to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, remember, we shared together in verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. In other words, they love to wander, and the word they love to do it, love means to have pleasure in this case, to move to and fro. Their feet want to take them all over the place, and the feet aren't being held back. The feet's just bringing their body wherever they want to go, whatever they want to do. They're just doing it. They just love to do it. And their feet, nothing's holding them back. And therefore doth the Lord doth accept them. And the word, the God does accept them to be, he does not accept them. And the word accept means to be associated, to be joined with, to have pleasure in someone. The Lord, verse 10, the Lord doth not accept, has no pleasure in them. He does not receive them. He has no association with them. The Lord will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Now, God is going to go and remember their iniquity and visit their sins. He's going to do that now. Now. What? Up to now? No. Now. Now he's going to do it. Think of all those years from King Solomon, King David, and all the way down the line. All the law, and God, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. The people's heart was not where it should be and was getting down each time. It went down and down and down and down until where it is now in the 10 tribes in the north and then the 2 tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. Now, so here in verse 14, God said, He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, he's going to do that. So, in the light of that, he's going to remember them, to put them in mind, to have a mind. The word has to do with embedding, imprinting, taking something and print it so it can't fall out. Chapter 17 will get it for us fast. Chapter 17, verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the tablet of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Your sin is so engraved, so imprinted. Nothing's going to take it away. It is deep, deep down. It isn't. You always can see it. Always can see it. Now, back over to chapter 14. Now, remember, he said, I'm going to remember your sin. I'm going to remember it. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over. Remember the word remember now. He's going to remember. That's what you want to think. Didn't he remember? Didn't he know? Yes, he did. But now he's going to take what he knows and have to do something with what he knows, because it's time to do it. Therefore, now is the time, and it's going to happen. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, let's go and consider, if you would, in remembering, so God, I want to learn from this. Here I am. I don't want to get caught up in the system. It's a lousy thing going on today. Not going to come out good. Always going downhill, no matter how we cut the cookie this time. Wow. So here we are, and we want to be encouraged. Now, God, Jeremiah, you tell him, don't pray. And it's all going to, and Jeremiah says, I'm going to live with whatever's going to be. And I want to become, I want to understand. I understand, God, you're going to do what you do, and what you do is right, not wrong. So here's Jeremiah, and he's going to go and look to God and trust him. Now, and so we are going to go and what practice. I want to, Jeremiah, the reason you are not part of Judah and Jerusalem are going to be judged. Why isn't Jeremiah going to be judged? Because he remembers. He remembers. Israel has forgot. Jeremiah has not forgot. And therefore, dear ones, remembering, Jeremiah, you're remembering so God doesn't forget. I'm remembering so God doesn't forget. Let's put that together. Psalm 78. Remember now, we're looking down to God and here's God's word. And we're going to get an understanding. God, help us understand this business of remembering, not remembering, forgetting, etc. We want to get a handle on that so that we understand, God. Because you remember now their sins and their iniquities. Now, what about our sins and iniquities? You remember theirs. And here's the world. What about the world's sin and iniquity? Psalm 78. Picking up in verse 3, remember, of all the history that's supposed to rehearse history so your children know it. We will not hide them from their children, showing it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Now, we're going to show that. And the trouble is, in the process, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, haven't been born yet, and should arise and declare them to their children who haven't been born yet. In other words, it's going to be handed down so we all know, so we all remember. We don't want to forget. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They forgot God, but God didn't forget them, and they are going to make a big cloud, a big storm, and they're going to block God, if they could, totally out of the picture. And God said, you can't do that. And they're going to be judged. Now, Psalm 78, verse 35. And here's our word. Verse 35, 78. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. They remembered that. They flattered God. They knew God, but they were hypocrites. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. They gave a whole lot of, we're trusting God, we love God, and none of that was true. Now, you slide down, if we can, to verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Now, they remembered, but they weren't going to honor God. They knew he was God, but they wouldn't give him credit for being God. Verse 39, God remembered that they were flesh. So what do you expect out of the old nature? Nothing. Only continually unbelief. Always unbelief. Now sliding down, verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Remember, the limited means to put boundaries. God, you can do this and you can't do that. Telling God what he can do and what he should do, not giving God. They limited God down to, this is what we're going to do, God. This is as far as we can see, and this is all we want. Yeah. Thus, verse 42. Here's our word again. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. They did not remember. They just didn't do it. So the problem was, God is remembering, but they aren't remembering. They don't want to remember. Now, God doesn't forget. So God remembers. Now, in the light of that, over to Psalm 60, 25. We'll just go and walk and take a look. I'm going to pull the word in front of you and go, think about it. Here's God. Here we are in your presence. And you remember. There's nothing that is forgotten. You know everything from day one to the end of time. Wow. Chapter 25, and going, if I can, verse 6. Remember looking at our verb. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Now, David, are you remembering? I am, and I'm looking. I remember the Lord remembers. I don't want to forget the Lord remembers. Verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Please don't remember. Jeremiah chapter 14, now I remember their sins. David, please don't remember my sins. Please don't remember them. Don't remember them, God. I'm in trouble if you remember them. Hang on. Now, over, if you would, to Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, picking up, oh, you'll get the idea in the light of that, staying with the same movement of thought. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy, again, David, toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Remember, he doesn't say north and south. He says east and west, because east and west never meet. They never come together. north and south, you hit a point, you got to go the other. But not with east and west. East, as far as the east, is from the west. Well, they never meet. That's correct. That's how far. Now, and picking up if I can, like as a father pitieth his children, well, I'll read verse 12 again. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth, our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We forget our frailty and our faultiness and our failure. We forget it. God doesn't, fortunately. So we say, God, I hate to disappoint you again. I goofed. I sinned. God's never disappointed because he knoweth our frame and remembers we are dust. We were never more than that. No matter how we felt, no matter how things went in the world, we were never more than that. We're dust. Wow. God doesn't forget. Isn't that good? God doesn't forget. Because then you're going to say, well, I earned, then we try to think we earned something, we merit something, we're going to be good enough for, or our case is worthy of action, and we're looking for some justification, some rationale that we have some power to call on God to do something. Now, Joshua, like we did Sunday night, son, thou stand still, that's different. But for us humans, normally, that's not true. So now, having said that, Psalm 103, go over with me to verse 18. Oh, well, let me finish it. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God, do you remember? I do remember. I remember what you're like. I remember what your condition is. And he knoweth. But God, you always never forget in your wrath, remember your mercy. Mm-hmm. And David, I'm counting on God's mercy. Verse 8. Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. 103, verse 8. Now, having said that little bit, over please to 106, Psalm 106. God, we're just going up and down looking, and you're getting a handle on that which you have exercised the heart of people and David, etc. So here's Psalm 106. If I can, in verse 4, 106, and in verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. If I can, verse 5. That I may see purpose, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. God, I want to be in the place to have the benefits of all of your wonderful plan for the nation of Israel. Wow. Psalm 111. And in Psalm 111, saying it again. Picking up, if I can, in verse 5. Let me go up just a little bit ahead of that to get the context a little bit. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat of food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful, remember, of his covenant. God, you made a wonderful commitment to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You made a wonderful commitment to humanity that you would not flood the earth again. That doesn't mean you aren't going to judge. It just means you aren't going to do it that way. So God, here we are, and again, there's great encouragement because you remember what we are like, and you know that, God, and you're going to remember what about? Not about us, because we're flesh. Remember about you. You made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You made an agreement that you would be their God and Savior. You can't break that. Remember that, God. Hang on to that. Now, over if you would please. Oh, to Isaiah 45. 43, better. Isaiah 43. And you will note, please, picking up the thought in verse 18, in the light of the wonderful plan God has for Israel. And thus, may God, in all that you're going to do in the future, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. God, remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the former things. God, easy, hard, wilderness, hard things, easy things, much, little. God, we don't want to go backwards in our life, in our history. You say, well, I used to feel good. I used to have this. I used to be able to do that. That may be, but you don't want to go backwards. You don't want to go backwards. You got to go forward. It's the only way to go, because you'll never discover why you were here in the first place unless you keep going forward. So you got to go forward. You got to finish. You got to finish the whole arrangement. So here, verse 18, remember ye not the former things. Picking up, sliding over, and thus remember not the sins of my youth, David. Psalm Isaiah 43, verse 23, 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Why? For mine own sake. That's the reason. And will not remember thy sins. You won't remember them. Nope. That's why Israel has a wonderful future, because God isn't going to remember. But in the days of Jeremiah, God is remembering. He's remembering their sins. The day's coming, he's not going to remember them. He didn't remember them. They kept going. He remembers them. And judgment, and he's not going to remember them. Now, over to Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Nahum Habakkuk. And you know, we made a note of it the other day. Habakkuk chapter 3. Picking up if I can. In verse 2. Habakkuk, in the light of what's happening in Babylon, going to happen in Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. What do you got to say? Verse chapter 3, Habakkuk, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Revive us, give us that kind of refreshment. Now, but in wrath, which is, we're destined to have it, judgment upon Babylon, Jerusalem, by Babylon, by way of Nebuchadnezzar. In wrath, remember mercy. God, it has to happen. Jeremiah said, I wish it wouldn't happen, but it has to be. It has to be. God, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would to Isaiah again. 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And you'll pick up the thought, if I may, in the light of the future where God's going to bless them. He's not going to forget. He's going to remember his covenant. Chapter 65, verse 16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. I don't even see them. What about all the stuff? God said, I don't see it. I don't see it. Hang on to that. And that's the millennium. Now we're going to go millennium, 1,000 years finish, and now we're going to new heavens and a new earth. Now, God, what else are we going to know? God, you just said I'm going to hide all the past from my eyes. Verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. You will not have one thought about it. You know, what are you going to do? I'm going to remember what you know you aren't. I'm going to remember. I know. God said it's all new. The old is gone. It's all new. Hang on to that. Brand new. I'm not going to find it. You won't find it. I'll say it another way to make it easier. The old heaven and earth, which God eliminates, are you going to find, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, are you going to find somewhere out there the old earth? Are you going to find the stars out there somewhere? Because God forgot them. No, you're not going to have anything to remember. It's all gone. All gone. Hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, let us go and consider, if we can. Now, let's put it together. Jeremiah, you understand God, it isn't going to change, and you're looking for God's mercy, you're counting on it, and you're counting on God's wonderful plan for Israel in the future. You're thanking God for the forgiveness of sins, in essence. God will not remember their sins. And Judah and Jerusalem and Israel, judgment. Jeremiah, comfort. Can't change it. Judgment. And there it is. Nebuchadnezzar, leveling of the city and all of that stuff. Now, Here we are, here's little believers like us, here we are, and we're looking for what? We're looking for God's mercy in the light of the day in which we live, because we can't say, God, we've been such good guys that we deserve a little help here. We can't say that. We're not very good guys at all, to say the least. Even the Muslims would say we're not good guys, and they're right in some areas. Now, in the light of that, so here we are looking, and God, and the world system we're living in, the world system, the believing heart, here we are like Jeremiah, but the world system, like Jeremiah, it isn't going to be fixed. God said, I'm not going to remember, now, N-O-W, verse 10, now am I going to remember their sins. Over, if you would, to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And you will note, God, here we are going into the future, etc., tribulation coming up. And in the process, here we are. Are we going to stop it? Nope. Are we going to change? We wish we could, but we can't. Can't do it. It isn't in our providence to do so. So therefore, God, what about the future? Well, now I remember their sin. What about the world? That's Nebuchadnezzar and Israel. What about us? chapter 16, picking up in verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, plural, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. God, I'm going to remember. God, why don't you do something? Do something. I am going to. I am going to. The cup has to be full. That's the 7 years of tribulation. And it's all going to keep filling itself up. And darkness and worse and worse and worse and worse. Just like Israel. Get worse and worse and worse. Wow. And thus, God, it's going to come in your remembrance, and you're going to give him the wrath, your judgment. That's correct. Over, if you would please, chapter 18. And again, chapter 18, going directly in the light of the context, verse 5. Well, I'll even read verse 4. Even. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For, verse 5, her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So God, you're going to remember again. That's right. So we're sitting here and say, why don't you do something? God said, I am going to. I am going to. You can be sure of it. But not yet. Not yet. Like Matthew 24. There are many things, but the end isn't yet. The end isn't yet. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible. Over to, you're not far away. 1 John. And here we are looking, and God, and you've done a wonderful thing for us. And when we come to know you as our Savior, you've taken all the sin on Calvary's cross. And God, when you look at the believing heart, you already have condemned the believing heart. Where is every human being on the face of the earth in the mind of God? In Christ on the cross. Every human being, Christ died for them. They're there. Now, whether they will honor that and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only sin against them, that's up to them. But God, you took it there. So in the light of that, so when God, you look at us, the believing heart, who do you see? You see your Son. If Christ be in you, you're a brand new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So God, here we are, and God, we're trying to understand, so we got all of the problems with our sin. That's right. And I want you to understand that I am dealing with you in the person of my Son. Your sins are forgiven. You understand? They're on Calvary's cross. That's where you are. All of your everything that's wrong is on that cross. And God has given you newness of life in the person of Jesus Christ. So that, if we walk in the light, verse 7, chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God, are we remembering? Yes. I don't want to forget you. Israel, Jerusalem has forgotten you. I don't want to forget you. Do you know when we take communion, one of the wonderful things that we're supposed to be reminded of? Do this in what? Do this in remembrance of me. Do you understand why you do it? So you don't forget. So you don't forget. The danger is you forget. I know your flesh is as grass. I don't expect anything out of you. But I want you to understand, don't forget me. Because I'm the one that's there. And God, you're going to level us? Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not my sin, period. And God, that's how you think. Now, I need to get that message, thus verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We don't ask for forgiveness. He has given us forgiveness. And to, see a little word, C-L-E-A-N-S-E, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the same verb in verse 7. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When we confess our sin, we enjoy the cleansing. And that's a relationship. God, that you want us to maintain it. Israel is not maintaining that whatsoever. And thus in the process, God, we don't want to forget. We tend to forget, God. We don't remember. God, you do. I don't want to forget that you know, in your presence, you know all about us. You died for us. You saved us. So God, and you see us in your Son. And in your Son, that's how you see us. We are accepted, highly favored in your beloved Son. We are given the forgiveness of sins. Wow. You've done all of that for us. So God, help us not to be forgetful. We want to remember, remember, remember. As you go home tonight, remembering, God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. And God isn't looking at all your bad stuff. If he did, wow. God just counts all your bad stuff as normal. And he sees it where? On the cross. You and I exercise our word, thought, and deed, which is wrong. And God sees all of that on the cross. We tend to feel it and see it. What are we to do? To confess our what? Confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. So we aren't playing the game of building up and then trying to get rid of the sin and trying to do this. Hold it. God has already done that for you. And all you need to do is exercise the wonderful truth that your sins are forgiven. If they're not forgiven, how can you be saved? You can't be. So God, you did something wonderful. Jeremiah, you're one of the remnant, and you are blessed. The nation, whoa, they're in trouble. Here, believers on planet Earth, the remnant that's left on Earth at the moment, here we are trying to exercise the benefits so that we don't get caught up in the flow of where the world is headed. They are headed on a collision course with God. Boom. It's not going to be pretty. But it has to be. And we are all right. Not because we're good guys or better. No. Because of the lovely saving grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that helped a little bit. Now, in the light of that, and our time is gone, I meant to have more time to pray for BVS. Remember now, if you would, to pray and keep that in mind as it comes to your mind in the next hours and day, two or three days here, that God will do a work and honor himself. God has to do what he does. When we're all said and done, God has to do it. So perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer and have two or three lead us, please, remembering the Bible.